The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting, management, or its sponsors.
Welcome to Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. I am Lorianne Castilla. You can call me Coach Lorianne. Our goal here at Healthy Lifestyle is to inspire, educate, and empower you to fulfill a healthy emotional, spiritual, and physical life so you can feel empowered to live the life you have always wanted and dreamed. Welcome to the show. I hope you're having a great day. I am a life and business transformational success coach, a number one international best-selling author, an award-winning inspirational speaker, and a humanitarian. I love illuminating, educating, inspiring, empowering, and igniting people to find and embrace their life purpose, live their highest vision, and forge a strong foundation to soar to success. For more information on how to work with me and my team, just visit us at ldcstrategies.com or lorianncasdia.com. On Healthy Lifestyle today, we're going to give you some verbal caffeine to light you up with possibilities. Today on the show, we have the delightful Kathleen Salmons. She is the well-paid expert. Kathleen is a desert-dwelling yogi who helps agency owners and service providers uncover a $100,000 revenue stream without having to create anything new. Yes, it's true. She's not kidding. Every business owner who has been working for at least a few years has $100,000 just sitting in their digital files, collecting digital dust, and she works with them to uncover those income streams, leverage their expertise, and package it properly. Welcome to the show, Kathleen. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm fabulous, and I'm so grateful to have you on. So let's talk about this, because there is a huge difference in scaling and profit between done-for-you services, one-on-one coaching, masterminds, and online coaching, and courses. I know that a lot of people have issues with understanding the differences. I know as a coach, I spent a lot of time explaining the difference between my mastermind and my master class. Big, big difference, huge difference. So help us understand those differences and how you could scale between those profits.
Well, so when we're thinking about doing something like this, it's good to think about building a product out of one of your services. So, you know, I know because I speak digital that the difference between a masterclass and a mastermind is one-on-one, right? A masterclass might have been delivered live, but it's now a recording. You can go through it at your own pace. And that's the kind of thing that scales. But also a mastermind can scale too, because you can say something that has more impact in a group setting, paradoxically, than it does one-on-one, because somebody else will chime in and say, oh yeah, this other thing too. And that kind of thing compounds.
Well, it compounds, it snowballs, right? And also collaboration. The other thing when you're in big groups is you're answering a question that many people have and some people won't ask. They don't know how to verbalize it. So it's very impactful.
Yeah. And I used to think that you could make the most impact as a one-on-one coach. And I don't think so anymore.
I don't.
And not just because it's easier and less work for the coach, but it's actually, you get more, the people who are in the program get more out of it when there's a community of like-minded people with them.
Yeah. Well, the support system in and of itself, having that community is really important. And you know, there's a place for one-on-one without a doubt. And I think that's scaled along the way down the road for someone. And that's when you really need to do a deep dive specific to what you're doing. But when you're coming in and you're building a business and you want to scale it, I think that being in the group setting is much more effective because you have that collaboration. Somebody else has done that. Somebody else has already invented that wheel. Why are you reinventing the wheel? Please stop that. Please stop.
Exactly.
So I love that, those differences. But the done-for-you services, let's talk about that, because I have issues with the done-for-you services. How do you feel about that?
Well, so that, I think that's like the natural first place to go. I'm really good at website design. I'm going to be a website designer. Great. Well, and then you think, well, I can't use templates because people are paying for something bespoke. And so those are the type of people that I like to talk to, because while it's true that people need a website, everybody needs a website. I believe that. Even if you're not a digital native, you need a website. If you want to have an online business,
you need presence. It's the new business card is what I call it. It's a new business card.
But you, as a designer, you don't have to provide bespoke solutions.
Correct.
And so talking to people who come to me with this, like, I don't know how to do it. When we talk about, like, okay, well, the first step is no longer bespoke, right? You can't have a 6-week project. Because even at $10,000, there's no way to scale that, right? And so then we talk about, like, well, it can be templatized. And if you look at a website's a really good example, because my 5-page website doesn't look that different than your 5-page website or anybody else's website who's listening to this. It's, we get the home, we got the about, we got the articles, it's all the same thing, yeah. Right? There's a sales page or two.
There's a reason for that though, too, is that we have an expectation too, to be able to find this information on the website. So yeah. And if you can, you're speaking template, I'm talking automation. So if you can rinse and renew and reuse the same template, you can personalize it from that point.
Yep, I agree with that. And so done for you is still viable, but there are ways to templatize a done for you approach that still means you're leveraging your expertise. You're working smarter, you're not harder. Instead of providing bespoke solutions for 5 clients, you're offering something templatized that has a little bit of something bespoke in it to 25 clients at a time.
So let me liken it to building a community, all right? But building houses for a community. You will see that the builder builds all these houses the exact same way, because it's time saving. He or she knows exactly what materials you need. He knows exactly what's going, when, how it's going, how they're inputting it. And here's the difference. Now we personalize it to the owner who comes in and says, well, I would like marble and I would like these wood floors and I would like these colors. And that's what we're talking about when we use the done for you services, is that it could be done for you and then personalized to you. But one size doesn't all fit everyone. So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So that to me is a way to make it attainable. One size does not fit all. And that's where we stand out. And that's where you personalize it. And that's where someone like you comes into play and really brings your expertise and helps them identify what they really want. And that's part of the big problem is, like, even if you go back to my house analogy, there's so many different paint colors out there. Where do you want to start? Do you want blue? Do you want red? Do you want, what color do you want? And then there's iterations of those colors. So it could make you crazy. So if you don't have someone with your expertise, it may make it more difficult to make those decisions, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I can't make it connect to the house analogy anymore. but for me, it feels like when we're so in the weeds, when we're responding to clients, we're building new relationships, we're signing proposals, we're getting the work done, it's really hard to think about what we would maybe productize. And a lot of times people get stuck with the idea that they have to stop selling their done for you thing, which is sort of the ultimate goal down the line, if you want, but it's not necessarily going to replace it, because the people that are willing to pay you $10,000 for a website are not interested in learning how to do it. They're just willing to pay for it. So if you talk about your design approach as a web designer, for example, you're not, the analogy I tend to use is you're the celebrity chef who wrote a cookbook. Reservations go up when your cookbook comes out, not down.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about your 4-step method to scaling income with a digital product. And I know you're very specific on this, and I love this about you.
Well, so the vast majority of the work is the brainstorming phase, because in the brainstorming phase, we can come up with 30 ideas, but there's only going to be a few that you actually want to do. Sure. So I had an example. Somebody in my group came to me and said, I want to create lead magnets for financial advisors. And I said, okay, great. They don't know what that is. And we're going to beat our heads against the wall trying to teach them what that is. So let's dial that back. And what ended up happening was we went through, because if you can do a lead magnet, you speak digital marketing, you're a marketer, you know all the ins and outs of it. So right. Then what can you do that's templatized? Can you do, so we came up with a bunch of different ideas. Do you want to give these financial advisors LinkedIn post templates so that they can adjust them for theirs? Do you want to give them Instagram quote posts? That was immediately nixed. Financial advisors are still just like one step removed from faxing over documents. So they're not on Instagram by and large.
Right.
So what she narrowed it down to was a templated email, because advisors tend to talk about the market. So they talk about the market and they talk about their community. Well, the market's the market, whether you're in South Carolina or Phoenix. But her approach was like, here this is. You can swap out a couple of different things. And now she's writing one email and selling it multiple times. Because again, if you and I are financial advisors, it doesn't matter that we're sending the same email. Nobody's going to know.
No, because we have different
audience. Right,
different circles of influence that we're talking to. So it doesn't matter, but, and there's nothing wrong with you utilizing that as a basis and then putting your own twist on it and your own voice into it. And that's what you're talking about. I love that you love, you know, the brainstorming phase where you kind of work out what can be done, what should be done, and what will be done. And I love that discernment there, because a lot of times people come in, I know when I talk to them as a coach, they'll come in and say, oh yeah, my friend's doing blah, blah, blah. And I was like, so why do you want to do it? Well, my friend says it works really well. And I was like, again, why do you want to do it? You know, because just because somebody else does it doesn't necessarily mean it's good for your industry. It's good for your market. It's good for you, your circle of influence. And that's where like you come into play and you're like, this is what works in this case. And you ask those right questions to allow them to come to that conclusion. And I love that. And that's all during your phase one brainstorming phase, right?
So yeah, because it takes a while, right? Like I need you to go get in the shower. I need you to go take a long walk. I need you to paint your house and do something that's not thinking about this, so that the parts of your brain that act when you're quiet can speak up. And so when we narrow it down, typically creators think, okay, I'm going to do Instagram quotes for financial advisors. Okay, great. What they tend to do is immediately get to work. And what I try to do is stem that, because the creators that I know love creating things and they don't love building a marketing system around it. So I say, all right, great. Let's outline it. And if you must, let's make the first piece of it. But then we're going to switch gears, because if you wrote an outline and you created one video and nobody buys it, that's actually fine. We're going to learn. We're going to test the market. We're going to do our market research. Sure. We're going to find out if there's a product market fit. We're going to find out if this is something you actually want to build. And we're going to switch gears and build the sales page. We're going to build the sales funnel. And then, you know, there's all kinds of different tools you can use that just like drip content out week by week. And that phase is really helpful, because then we're in the testing and building phase. And that's actually like two and three, because once somebody has bought from your wait list, once somebody has said, yeah, I want this, or 10 people have said, yeah, I want this. As entrepreneurs, we need bosses. And a good boss is a deadline. So if 10 people are expecting something new by Thursday, listen, I don't know everybody who's listening to this, but I do know that you will have it out and done and good by Thursday.
Yeah, well, it's good. It's good enough because you have to have it out by Thursday. So that deadline is really, you're right. It is a good boss. So just for clarity, brainstorming is phase one. What's phase two?
Refining and deciding. And then phase three is building the sales funnel.
And building, then we build it, and then we test it, and we scale it. And I love that it's a whether or not it's a good product market fit. And the really cool thing that I find, and tell me if you find this as well, Kathleen, is as you're walking through and you're stepping through this process, don't people have a tendency to find have other aha moments, and then suddenly they're shifting because they're like, no, that's not really what I want to do. You know, I really
there's an alignment that I really find important. To tease out of someone. Yeah. And a lot of times our weekly calls are talking about like, are you, you haven't moved forward on this. Are you, is this still something you want to do? Do we want to pull back? You know, just because it worked. And that's also something interesting is that just because it worked one time, if it's not lighting you up, if it's not an alignment, let the fact that you built a sales funnel that made you a six-figure income propel you to think, well, what should I create next? Because if it's not that, then it doesn't matter that you've built a list and you've built, if you don't want to do it, you're just building a prison of your own making.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. And I love the process of going through. Just because we went into the right doesn't mean we can't shift and go to the left. Doesn't mean we can build, we don't have to be stuck with anything. There's no sticking. The great thing about this, I'm an old school marketer. So coming into digital is like, oh, you know, it's like the gods came down and blessed us with this because we used to have to live with whatever marketing was for a whole year, whether there was an error, spelling error, anything like that, because we had just spent the expense of having things printed out or having things published or all that. And you didn't have that digital tweak that you could do within seconds. Now we decide we go in a different direction. No big deal. We just jump back on and we switch it. Our websites, we can modify it. So put it out there, get it out there so that you have presence. You start building your SEO up, your search engine optimization up, and then you can then tweak from there and do your testing. I love the testing and scaling. Don't get me wrong. You want to go out there with a good presence, but you don't have to be absolutely perfect. Sometimes people wait so long that they don't even want to do that product anymore, but we were tweaking for so long.
Right.
But they never get it out. You know, so I'm sure you run into that. So once you get them through that refining, and there's a lot of time spent on that. I know that I've watched marketers, they have to basically hold the horse reins back and say, not yet, don't run, not yet. And we're struggling trying to keep them from running. And we know why they want to bolt. We know why they want to be the stallions running at pace. But we also know the process. We need to feel that process and go through it. Do you talk about that, walking through that process with your clients? Because sometimes it's hard to hold them back, right?
You know what I think it is I think it's an aversion to sales. So, but interestingly, it gets worse the more complete your product is. That fear gets so much worse because you've put in that clever turn of phrase, you added that fun little gif, and you've added these little Easter eggs, and also you've made this great product. And by the time it's done, if you don't rein it in, then what it feels like, which is not the truth, but what it feels like is that you are saying, this is me, do you like me? And when somebody says, when your sister-in-law says, hey, I don't really need a LinkedIn outreach digital course because I'm a school teacher and I don't need leads, then you're crushed, you're brokenhearted.
Right.
You know, like it's easy to say, well, nobody needs this.
Yeah.
My market research of asking my sister or whatever.
P.S. That's not market research. Just in case you're wondering, that's not market research.
No.
That's just somebody's opinion. That's one person's opinion.
And so the pushback I get in my program is once you have an outline and a sales page, you need to ask people who you think would be a good fit for that product if they would buy it. And that is a scary thing for some people to do. Yeah. But it's less scary because it's what you're saying is like, hey, I have this idea. Does any of this resonate with you? Does this price point make sense? Does this transformation, is this transformation believable? Is this something you need in your business? It's a lot less pressure than I just worked for 8 months on this. Do you like it?
You know? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And there's something about the phrase sales is it's just, everybody gets like rigor mortis when you're like, oh, now you have to go sell it. And they're like, mm-hmm. What? So when we come back, I want to talk about that fear of sales and how we transfer that mind shift. And when you do this mind shift that we're going to talk about, how it really scales on you and how we're going to find that extra $100,000 that people are leaving on the table that you're going to help them pick up and then run with. You're listening to Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. We're here with Kathleen Selmans, the well-paid expert. We're going to come back after a short break and talk more with Kathleen. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. I am Coach Lorianne. If you'd like to be a guest or lift up your business product or not-for-product profits, or if you have a question or comment, we would love to hear from you. Email us at healthylifestylewithla. That's healthylifestylewithla@gmail.com. And we really want to get you to take action and change some of those behaviors. So Just give us an email and we would love to speak to you. Welcoming back our guest today, Kathleen Selmans, the well-paid expert who has a well-paid expert mastermind, who's going to help you find and uncover $100,000 revenue stream without even have to create anything else that is sitting probably right in your back pocket right now. And we've been talking about that. And where we left off, Kathleen, was people's fear of sales, that word sales, I have to go sell something, makes them crazy. And I found in my experience that if we change that word to really believing in something that you're doing and that you're helping somebody else out, it really changes the mindset of the person. Do you run into that? And how do you overcome that hurdle? Do you address this in your mastermind?
Yeah, we talk about it in the mastermind because what we're building ultimately is a sales funnel that can run with ads, but we don't want to put ads on something that humans aren't interested in buying. And so in order to find out if humans are interested in buying, we have to have sales conversations with humans, and that can be scary. And so we talk about that sometimes. Like one of the things that I talk about is that when we're in the group, like show of hands, how many people feel like sales is pickpocketing? And when the hands go up, which they do, that's when we talk about how to reframe it.
Yeah.
Because it's tough. All the books you've ever read say everybody loves to buy, but nobody wants to be sold to. Well, that doesn't actually help you in the moment.
Yeah.
Because especially when you're a agency owner and you've created a digital product, you have a lot of your blood, sweat, and tears, not just your IP, but
your baby.
Yeah. You've done a lot of work for it.
Sure.
And when you have an emotional connection to the product, it can be really hard to sell it. You know, it's, you see this in when people are selling their childhood homes. It's very, very difficult for some people to do.
Because we have an emotional attachment, and I liken it to, you know, it's, I'm so in the moment that I can't see it how other people look in at it. And I'm maybe a little fearful of rejection too. So with all that laced in, there's a lot of anxiety and angst. And so we use this as an excuse, a justifiable excuse not to take that next step. And that's where someone like yourself, who's an expert, comes in and gives you the tools that you need. Because let's talk about the advantage of feedback, of getting that marketing feedback from somebody. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, and again, this is why I like to do it early. Because if I asked you, even though now we've only known each other for 30 minutes, but if I asked you for feedback on an outline, it wouldn't be as scary to me as feedback on a book about my childhood or something that I spent a year writing or whatever. Yeah. So you ask for feedback early because you want to get a good a good idea of whether this is something people want. And in the example that I talked about with the emails for financial advisors, when that person asked if this is something people wanted, the first five people she talked to signed up for the service. So it was not just testing the market, but putting money back in to this idea.
And also by doing this, you're avoiding spending, I just spent 3 months building this and now nobody wants it. You catch it at the front end so that you're not wasting time on something that's not hitting, you know, not making a mark. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's real important. And plus, don't you get people used to the process early on so that when we get at that really scary point when we're ready to release the hounds, that at that point they're so used to getting feedback and dealing with it and understanding the negotiation of it within themselves. Do you see a huge difference, right?
Yeah. And it's more about, like, if there's not a product market fit, it's separating yourself from I don't like that idea to I don't like you.
Yes.
We hear that's a stupid idea. We hear, and women are more guilty of this than men, but we hear you're stupid.
Yeah.
You are worthless. You're never going to have any good ideas. And that's not ever what anybody who actually knows you is saying. Trolls on the internet.
Excluded.
But
don't count anyway. So.
Right. The idea is coming up with something that people need. And so
you're solving a problem.
Right. And so when you're able to say, I have this easy thing that makes my job easier. Is this something you're interested in? You will know right away if you have to do more explaining, it might be harder. I have a new program. So I have two programs, the Well-Paid Expert Mastermind, but I have a new one that's talking about my system for filling my sales calendar using LinkedIn. And because LinkedIn is a known quantity and because people need more sales appointments on their calendar, people are understanding it in less time than they are with this productizing your service thing. So I have two different things, and I'm interested in the feedback on both, because the idea that if you pick something that's easy, and that's part of what I teach too, is in the brainstorming stage, and everybody actually listening to this can do this brainstorming with us, where think about the things that you say the word just around. So I don't know what I would build a digital product around. I just have this thing where I can onboard a new virtual assistant in 2 weeks without mistakes.
That's You're minimizing
like,
language.
Just like that. But it's also the closer you get to mastery, the more you think everybody has your same knowledge. And so when you think about, well, I can just like put together a spreadsheet that predicts growth over 12 months with a few different inputs. I was like, well, that's amazing. Yeah. What do you mean? Seriously. Just like, you know, so, or I just am able to onboard clients without any friction. Okay, great. What's your, so the answer is in that word, but it's also when you're doing your own brainstormings in investigating the processes that keep your system afloat.
Yes.
Keep your business running.
What's working? You know, it that system is working, and those minimize it. Words matter, you know. So, and it matters how you're saying it to yourself too, not just externally, because that's what we're hearing. Like you said, women have a propensity because of how we're brought up in society. We have a propensity to take everything so amazingly personal, and we have to stop it. I was brought up like my brothers, so I don't really take things personally. I have a big separation, and so it makes it very strange. I actually had a conversation with someone in a job I did years ago, and I was their supervisor in the building, and outside of the building, I was their friend. And so I was not pleased with what they were doing in the building, and we had a very direct conversation about that being unpleased. But when we went outside the building, I was fine. And there, she was like, I thought you were upset with me. And I was like, in there, I'm not happy with what you're doing. And I know you're going to correct it, but out here we're friends. It's a, you know, there's a separation. She goes, that's just like, you have multiple personalities. Cause that just doesn't make any sense. And I was like, no, I've learned separation. I don't take it personally. And I don't want you to take it personally. It's not personal. We have a job to do in there and I want you to succeed. So I want you to take the right steps. Out here though, we're hanging out. Let's have a beer. Come on. You know, so it was really hard for her to associate that because we're not taught that way. But however, men think that way. So it's an interesting flow for us to learn that. That's how I was raised. So I think that way. So I just totally resonate. I also liken it to this, is women will fight with each other and we'll hold on to it like forever. Men will sit next to each other at a bar, punch each other out and then have a beer together. And then they're done. They're good. I was like, we need to act more like that so that when we get this feedback, we're able to have that separation between it being us and the product that we're offering, and that the languaging is just not landing. It's not resonating with the people, and having the proper name. Like, I loved your LinkedIn name, that product that you're doing for LinkedIn, because it tells me exactly what it is. I'm like, yeah, I'm hands raised. I want to do that because it is exactly what you need. I want more bookings. Yes, I want to learn how to do that. Yes, I want to learn LinkedIn. You say that right in the title. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people come up with these great names for their companies, but it doesn't tell me anything of what they do. So it doesn't help. You know, mine is LDC strategies, strategies. Oh, she must strategize. Yeah, perfect. That's what I want you to think of. You know, so the same thing with what you're doing is what you're saying is so important to make it easy for people to go, oh, I get what you're doing. Yeah, hands raised. So that's what you're talking about. And that's the feedback that you're looking for. Someone to say, yeah, I don't understand. Right, that to exactly. me is important feedback. I was like, all right, I don't like the fact that you don't understand it, but I'm happy that I know that you don't understand it, because that means I have to go back to you.
Right. Because that's on us. That's not on them.
Yeah, that's on us.
You can, if you're asking for feedback and people don't get it, you can say that everybody you talk to is an idiot, but like that's not going to help you build a better product to sell down the line.
Well, I've actually had people who dug in and said, no, this is how I want to do it. And I'm like, okay, I'll come for the ride, but understand, I'm going to give you a disclaimer. These are the things that I see as potential issues, you know, challenges in you going this route. And sure enough, when they went down the road, they got that feedback that you're talking about that said, yeah, that's not good. And they went back to their outline. You know, so we had to go all the way back to the outline and rearrange it because they just weren't listening. And sometimes there are people we work with, I'm sure you can think of a couple of people you've worked with who just wasn't listening. And maybe that's not a good fit, you know, for us as coaches and mentors and teachers. You know, sometimes that's not a really good fit. Kathleen, when you bring people through this process, what does that look like?
Yeah. So the Well-Paid Expert Mastermind is a 90-day framework. It's actually a year-long program, because what happens is you can do it in 90 days, but that's if you nail the product idea right away, you do everything like time. Life gets in the way. Your business gets in the way. 6 clients show up and they want to pay you. You're done for you rates. I get it. So it's a year-long program, So what it's designed to do is to have you have a fully functioning sales funnel by the end of that 90 days. So meaning it's got a sales page, it has a lead magnet, it has a webinar, whatever we decide for the lead magnet, it's got a flow, a functionality. I help you build that. I find that that's where people get stuck, is in the tech too.
What tools do you use to build your funnels?
I am using OptimizePress because I've been at this a long time and I am a WordPress native, and it sits inside the WordPress world. And there's plenty of great tools out there. That's the one I'm using right now. Yeah. And so when we build that together, and I have like a big license for it, so people in my program can just take what we have and they can build using the same license. So it's not additional fees.
Yeah.
On their,
which is really important to say, because in a lot of cases, then you have to, you know, use another tool that has a monthly fee, that some of those monthly fees are costly, so that it's part of your program is brilliant. Because they also have your guidance and they're not having to build it all by themselves, because that's very time consuming. If you've never done it before, it's daunting. You know, once you learn how to do it, it's rinse and repeat, but it's the process of learning how to do it. Why waste your time? That's not your zone of genius. You need to hire an expert to do that so that you could be in your zone of genius, in your expert seat too, right? So you do that in 90 days, you give them that. And the thing I love about your program is it's a year long. What I find, and I have found in my own experience as well in doing what I do, is that along the way, you might not understand what's going on at the in the first 90 days, but you see the sales page being there, oh, this is good. But you're really not sure how this works and what the mechanism is and what the outcome is going to be. But as you go through the year, you're going to need that guidance through the next few months of how do I use this? How do I reassociate this? How this is the marketing data I'm getting back. How do I tweak this so it works for me? That's where they need you as well, right? And they get that through this.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, what the piece that I really like is when the first one's always really hard. You had a bunch of ideas, you went with one, it was really hard. You don't know how it went. Yeah. And then as you're putting it out there, you get the same question from 8 people being like, do you have X? And then you come back to me because you're part in the same program and you're like, well, now that I know how easy it is to build a sales funnel, can we do one for the thing that 8 people want to buy from me already? Yes. So that's what I'm hoping is that we get multiple sales funnels in that year long commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. And that because you offer a year long, a lot of the programs don't, they're like one and done, get in, get out. And you're left floundering. You're sitting there and you're able to bring them along and give them that growth and really empower them, which, you know, is an important thing for me, empower them to be able to do that and grow from there. So what you offer is great. It's a 90-day work frame, but a year long process, well-paid expert mastermind. I just love that. And that you do it, you help do it for them. You know, you don't leave them hanging out there. So many programs will say, oh, we're going to get you to do a sales. And then all of a sudden you're left to do this and you've never done it before. And you don't know how to do it. You know, it's not an easy task. If you're not familiar with it, it's not an easy task. If you're familiar with it, it's easy. It's like riding a bike, no big deal, right? But the learning curve is humongous, don't you think?
It can be, yeah.
Yeah. And that's where you come in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And do you have a team that works with you? How do you work?
I am flying solo for now. I have a team of contractors that I use on an as needed basis, but taking a break for the summer.
Oh, nice. Okay. I know that it's really, really hard for people buried in client work to scale a digital product, right? So why are there people, what should they be focusing on the most in order to scale while they're working in their business? I call that working in the business while I'm working with my clients. Working on my business would be scaling with you, building these sales funnels. So why is it that we get in the muck and where should they be focusing on while they're working on their business?
If you're too busy with your client workload now, chances are your prices are too low. Especially if you have built your business on referrals, because you know that part of that referral is, and she's really cheap. You got to get in before she raises her prices. And so,
yikes.
So I know it's, and, but it keeps you in that. Like, so then you're undercharging, you're over delivering. Everybody's happy except you, who is nearly burnt out, and you need to raise your rates. And in order to do that, you need to find clients that aren't referral clients. You also could have a conversation about referrals that don't mention price with your existing clients, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
And so when you do that, typically you have to find a new way to get new clients in. Because if you're going from $1,000 to $2,000, you have eliminated every single person who had the money to work with you before. And so that's where the LinkedIn, the 6-week LinkedIn, let's get this LinkedIn system working. That's where that can come into play. So it's like, okay, great. What we're going to do is we're going to get you higher paying clients, because if you are making, let's say you're making $20,000 a month, but you're serving 10 clients, just for the sake of easy math. Yeah. If you can do the same $20,000 with 5 clients, then all of a sudden you've just bought back some time.
Yeah.
And so when you're building toward thinking about carving out your time in a sustainable way, and, you know, making money in your sleep and having passive income and living the dream, right? you first need to raise your rates on your existing client. Well, on new clients, it's hard to do it on existing, but, and then pivot into carving out some of that time that you just bought yourself into thinking about a digital product.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the other thing about raising your prices is you create an automatic FOMO, fear of missing out, is that, oh my gosh, she's going to get more expensive, so I better get her now, you know, or get him now, because they're going to get more expensive as price go up. And that also is a sales mechanism, not a cheesy one, not an icky one, not a pickpocket one, as you would put it.
It is truly
my time is limited. I only can fit so many people in. My prices are going up. So just know that I'll honor the prices on the people who are existing clients, but new clients will have to come at this level. That's an honest conversation. What's your why? Our last question, Kathleen.
I have a picture of my mom here from a trip we took, and she died young, trying to leave a corporate job. She was trying to get medical leave, and she probably would have got it had she lived. And she was so excited because they would still pay a reduced salary. But I didn't want to follow in her footsteps and live a life where I worked at a job I hated. And even if there were good parts to it, I'm sure she didn't hate every second of her work life. But but once I realized tomorrow's not guaranteed and my future can be whatever I build it to be.
Freedom.
Then I realized that I can honor my mom's legacy much better by being happier and making money on my own terms.
Oh my gosh, Kathleen, you touched me to my core. That's such a beautiful why and such a beautiful thing that you do. What you do helping other people soar to their success is just so beautiful. Everyone, Kathleen Selmans, the well-paid expert mastermind. She also has a product for LinkedIn to allow you to get up running and fill up your calendar with that. You can absolutely find her at the Kathleen at thewellpaidexpert.com or go to wellpaidexpert.com to find her. More information, you just see the links below this episode and you'll have all the information, connectivity to our beautiful friend Kathleen. Kathleen, thank you so much for being on today. Thank you all for joining us today on Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. I hope we earned the privilege of your time. Again, I want to thank our guest, Kathleen, and I hope that we will see you and join us next Saturday. As always, we will be here. Until next time, play a higher role, serve a higher purpose, show up for you, and show up big. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting, management, or its sponsors.